I always wait to see what he's going to do. No, don't need one. They know who I am. Exodus chapter 32 tonight. Exodus chapter 32. We're going to cover. I bet y'all never thought you could cover this much about music in the Old Testament. But we are going to end in the New Testament the next Wednesday night. We'll deal specifically with two major verses in the New Testament and talk about music. Tonight, music matters with the old cassette tape on there. Y'all remember those days? Some of y'all remember vinyls. Some of y'all don't know what we're talking about. Right? Tonight, I'm going to talk about this subject, the sound of music. Not the movie or whatever, but the sound of music. By the way, when I was thinking of this, I was thinking, maybe I need to watch The Sound of Music just to get, but I didn't. All right, so Exodus chapter 32, we'll read a few verses. Look at verse 15, if you will. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and two tables of the testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other side were they written. And the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tablets. And then the Lord had told Moses, he said, you need to get down there. Your people are going crazy, and I want to destroy them. And God said, and Moses said, don't destroy them. Let me go down there and see what's going on. And in this story, Joshua didn't hear that conversation, apparently, that Moses had with the Lord, and so you're going to see what Joshua's going to say here, and it's not the Crawford one, it's the other one, all right? It says, and when Joshua heard the noise, notice the word, he says noise twice, he says voice twice, and then just kind of make note of those. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. That word mastery just simply meant that was a fighting word. That was it meant a military. It was their valiant men. In other words, strength, power, might. And then it says, neither is it the voice of them Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. In other words, not the one. They're not getting overcome. And they're not fighting, so what is going on? And here's what he says. He says, I believe this is Moses, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. He said, notice how Joshua described it. He says that this is noise of war that's going on here. And of course, you know the story, probably if you've been in church a while, that the associate pastor was left alone with the church. Right? Aaron was left alone with the church by himself while Moses was gone 40 days and 40 nights with Joshua. And they said, well, he's not coming back. What do we do? And they said, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make us some gods and worship. And so they took all the earrings, all the things that they had got from Egypt, and they put it in and began to make these gods with. They made a golden calf. And I love how the associate pastor answer when Moses gets down, you have to read the rest of the story, but this is just for fun. He come back down there and he said, Joshua or Aaron, what is going on? And I can just see Aaron, because I am an associate pastor, and Aaron was a music director too, is that he said, I don't know. I bet he shrugged his shoulders like our kids do, right? Put his hands in his pocket and go, I don't know. He's like, we put all the gold in the fire and golden calf came out. I don't know what else. That's what happened. Right, you know, but if you read the story, and I know this is, I want you to think of this, is that when Moses confronts them, they don't have no clothes on, they're dancing around, and I just want to remind you is that they heard the noise of war. They're coming down off the mount of getting the Ten Commandments, and what happened here is that God, Joshua said, I hear the sound of war. And then they say, no, wait a minute, I hear this. I hear the noise of them that sing, do I hear. Can I just remind you that God's music sounds different or should sound different than the world's music? And that's what I want to show you tonight through some scripture, is that that the sound of music does, it in the Bible anyway, I'm going to show you three passages that really deal with it, is that it had a different connotation. By the way, if you're having a drunken, naked party, as they were having, I know it's a little much to say, but that's what they were having. They were having this idol-worshiping party. Their music had to match that. Right. And to the ears of Joshua, he said, that doesn't sound like the mighty men. It doesn't sound like those who are getting overcome. It's different. They're and when they get closer, they realize that they're singing, that they are celebrating gods. I don't know if you did any, and there again, I'm not the guy to do this necessarily, but if you look up, you know, especially satanic worship, their music is different than ours, right? It's very eerie. The worship of idols, and if you study, especially in Africa, where they worship a lot of different things, it's powered by the drum beats. It's powered by a lot of the satanic music there. Also, it's a driving force. By the way, we do not have to have music to worship. That's what sets us apart from a lot of other religions out there. And idol worship, they have to have that, you know, something driving it, right? And tonight, we don't have to have that. But God has given us music, and I think we need to be very thoughtful of the sound of our music. And I'm going to show you that here in just a little bit, hopefully through the Word of God. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night. Lord, thank You for Your goodness to us. And Lord, I just ask that You would help me tonight. God, You're just a great God, that You would allow us to have music and to enjoy it, but also that it's for You. And we love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, if you remember the story, that Daniel's here and Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree. He had made a statue. And that, matter of fact, I'll just read verse 7. It says, therefore, at the time, Daniel 3:7, you can just write it down if you want to. It says, therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people of the nations, notice this is a wide area, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. This music was so distinct that they knew that it was not the music just somebody playing at their house. You know, they would have sat around and played different kind of instruments. But this music would have had to have been loud enough and boisterous enough and had to be so driving that people knew that the moment that they heard it, fall down and worship these idols. And I want to tell you that there is a sound of music, and I believe there is a sound of God's music, and I believe there's a sound of the world's music. And I know there are some fine lines there, and I'm not trying to tell you what to listen to. I'm trying to give you boundaries. The messages have been leading up to really next week's message and kind of really putting a finalized touch. This message is kind of a broad but narrowing message towards music, and then next week we'll narrow it down. We've almost been funnel preaching. We're trying to funnel it down and give you the basics, the Bible foundation of music. And by the way, I can't tell you what kind of music to listen to. I can tell you my opinion. And I can tell you what I think matches up with the Word of God, but you have to have a conviction about your music. Amen. And by the way, music does matter. It does matter. So I want to give you three things tonight. Number one, I want you to notice the unfamiliar sound. The unfamiliar sound of music. And we see that here in this, is that the children of Israel had an unfamiliar sound coming from them. And Joshua knew that it was not the normal sound. Joshua knew that when he was coming down the mountain, and Moses knew when he was coming down the mountain, that this was not the normal worship. This was not the normal music that they would be singing, and the things that they would have been singing at the time down on the bottom there of that mountain. But can I remind you that when you have different type worship, it calls for different type music. Right? I remember there was a guy in our community who was a Satan worshiper. I remember his name was Ty McCurdy. He actually got arrested for killing and eating somebody, I think. He was a great guy. Good guy to be around. I'm not sure what happened, but he did. I remember driving past his parents' property where they lived, and you'd see things going on and a lot of things. But you know, one thing you would always hear is this God-awful music. Just the screaming that you could hear coming from that. And I would roll my window down. And when you drove by there, because it was just kind of one of those things you did as a teenager, you dare people to go by there and see if he was going to eat you for lunch. I don't know. That's not what they were doing. But they always said, you know, out there killing chickens and things. I don't know what they were actually doing because you couldn't see. But you could hear the music. He probably just had a heavy rock metal band out there. But he was a strange guy. And you could hear, you're like, what is that? And me being raised in church, I knew that wasn't the right kind of music, even listening to that, right? Because, by the way, God has given us an ear for music. Not everybody can sing, not everybody, but you know what right kind of music sounds like, Right? I mean, you know, and there is an unfamiliar sound. There's people that pull up beside me all the time and I can feel their unfamiliar sound. Why is it that I have to hear their music and feel their music? Doom. My windows are dee, dee, dee. And I'm thinking, no wonder they can't hear, you know, for the rest of their life. Huh? Huh? Boom. Dude, didn't you hear? I love the metal. You know, the old cars and stuff that some of them have, you know. And I'm just like, you know, you can just tell it's an unfamiliar sound. And that lets us know that this sound was different from what Moses and Joshua were used to seeing. Now, I want you to go over, if you will. We're going to look at three different passages of Scriptures. Go to 2 Chronicles, if you will. It's right after 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 10. I preached 7 sermons last week, and my voice is about shot, and I sang 3 songs per service, so figure those out. It was a lot of singing, a lot of preaching, but it was good. We have one 17-year-old saved Sunday morning. Handies are doing good. We thank God for what he's doing there. That was my timeout. Now, back in. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, if you look at verse 10, I want you to notice what's going to go on here, because we're mentioning some of the same things we just mentioned. I want to tie it together hopefully tonight. But remember that David couldn't build the temple. He could only get the supplies. Well, Solomon comes along, he builds this temple, this elaborate temple. They're going to dedicate it to the Lord. They're bringing the ark in, and that's kind of where we pick up the story. Notice verse 10, it says, "And there was nothing in the ark save the 2 tablets which Moses put therein." It's kind of amazing how we tie the 2 stories together. "At Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, and it came to pass, when the priests were come out, the holy place, and for all the prophets that were present were sanctified and did when they wait by course, also the Levites, which were the singers of all them of Asaph." Asaph was their leader, Hermon, Jephthah. "And then with their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar. And with 120 priests sounding trumpets." Could you imagine 120 people with horns? That'd sound pretty awesome if it was the right kind. Right? I played the trumpet in band many, 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 many years ago. When I started, it wasn't a familiar sound. My blessed mom, God bless her heart, had to put up with that, right, for a while. And I'm pretty sure she told me just to go practice in the garage. It was a lot better for me. A lot better acoustics in the garage at the neighbor's house. But notice what it says, "And it came to pass," verse 13, "it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever,' that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house." By the way, I'm just taking a stab here, but I'm pretty sure that God approved of this music. Right? Because he came and he filled the house with his glory. But see, this was a unified sound. We had an unfamiliar sound, but this was a unifying or a unified sound. Notice what it says in verse 13, that the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. The music of the church, or the music of anything, should never outdo the vocals. It should be as one. Amen. Amen. If you go to most places, you can't hear the words because the music's so loud. That's not unified, right? That is not unified. The music is there only to enhance what is happening. It is not there to drive you. It's not there to... And by the way, I'll just skip to the end. If your music drives your flesh and not your spirit, it's wrong. And we're going to hit that hard next week. Is that if it makes your body feel good, you need to take it off the radio. We don't even listen to radio no more. I went old school. Take your cassette out, right? Throw it out the door, whatever you need to do. But, you know, pull the tape out of it. But music was given to us to edify the Spirit and to edify the Lord. That's what they were saying here, is that they were in harmony or unity one with another, doing what? Singing praises and thanking Him for what He has done. That is really the cause of music and why God has given it to us, so that it'll be a unifying sound. A unifying sound is what God wants to hear. And tonight, I hope that you'll think about your music and think about, when I was studying this too, I was thinking, you know, it's amazing that God gave us harmony. You realize we all could just sing the melody? Sound pretty good, but God's given us the ability to sing harmony. You say, what does that mean? That means we have, in a choir, you have a bass, a tenor, a soprano, and an alto. If you're singing in a quartet, you have a bass, tenor, and a lead, and a baritone, usually. God has given us the ability to have harmony, and that when you sing as one. In other words, not trying to draw attention to yourself or to the instruments, but you're trying to draw attention to Him. Amen. And so many, I'm not getting a lot of amens tonight, so I'm going to keep going. And y'all are like, all right, he needs to go back and preach another revival. But I'm telling you, is that what's happening with music is that I can hear music way off and I go, that's not the kind of music I want to listen to. Right? Yeah. Matter of fact, the music I listen to, I don't like a lot of instruments. To be honest with you, I like to hear what they're singing. And we'll talk about that here. Matter of fact, let me go to this one before I get in trouble. Pastor, you know how it is. Things are up here and I got to keep going. 1 Corinthians. Let's get into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at just at verse 15, if you will. I'm trying to get right into it here. Paul is dealing with the tongues movement in the Corinth church. They're confused about what's going on. They thought that this is supposed to be some jibber-jabbers out there. Paul says, no, it was a language, and you have to have an interpreter, because if you speak in Spanish and I don't speak Spanish, it does me no good. And that's what Paul's saying. He said the tongues was to edify, not to make people have more questions. That's what he's covering here in this chapter. And so he's going to talk about music in the middle of this. And I want you to notice in verse 15, he says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also, and I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So as you look at music, not only was there an unfamiliar, there was a unified sound, but I believe there's an understanding sound. If you cannot understand what they're saying, you don't need to listen to it. Anybody like me, you grow up singing songs that not the right songs, and later on in life you find out that it wasn't even close to the words that it was, right? You later on, you actually read the words, you go, oh my soul, I was not even close, right? But that shouldn't be the way. You shouldn't be singing a hymn one day and all of a sudden you go, oh, I never thought that was the word. You know why? Because that's why we have hymn books. That's why we have the words up there, so you can see the words. Because why? It needs to be understood. And Paul goes on to talk about in the next few verses is that the reason you don't use tongues and the reason you don't use confusing things is because there's going to be unlearned people in the audience, and they need to be able to hear it and understand it. It would be like me getting up here and just going, hey, blah, 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 blah. Let's all stand. Now, probably most of you would enjoy that, but you would be like, well, I got nothing out of that. Why? Because it needs to be understanding. And I've heard preachers preach messages way over our heads, and they never come down. They're usually not in this pulpit, but in other, not very often do you get that. But I need some understanding. I like it when they're up here, and they come down here, and they come down here, and they get all levels. Hallelujah. That's what we need. But when you get up here, and if Pastor got up here, well, me and Pastor probably would not do this, but use some elaborate words, you'd be like with your dictionary on your phone going, what is he talking about? I've never heard that word a day in my life. See, you use common language. Matter of fact, Paul even says that. You use common language among them. Why? So that they can understand. And what needs to happen with music is that it has to be understanding. It has to be an understanding sound. As we look, that instruments and that voice need to be unified, and that it needs to also have the clearness of it when you sing. And I have to be careful with that when I sing songs, to make sure I'm pronouncing things. Make sure it's not about, it is about how you sing it, but it's more about what you're singing about. If you miss the message of the song, then you missed it all. It's more than saying, oh, they have a beautiful voice. It's, oh, that was a beautiful song. I'm not against, you know, pat somebody on the back and say, well, you did a good job. No, I'm just saying that, remember, we're singing, we're going to deal with this next week, is sing unto the Lord. He's our audience, and but yet also you're the audience too. He's first audience, but you're second audience, and it ought to be understood by the people. Amen. Our music should not sound like the world. By the way, that can go either way. That can go over here to the rock, rap. It can go all the way back over here to the country. It can go over here to jazz sounding type stuff. We need to make sure that we stay in God's level, right? And I know that line is hard sometimes, and I'm not against a guitar, I'm not against a banjo. I'm just saying is that we need to make sure that our music has a distinct sound to it. And people can hear, and that people can understand it. The words must always be clear. Words and music go hand in hand. Music, and there again, I think back in my younger years of singing in some family groups in the beginning, before I knew any better. And I remember getting those big old speakers out. You know, we get off the bus, and I set up my drum set. Yes, I was a drummer. And I'll grow my hair back out for you guys. I didn't have long hair. It just kind of goes hand in hand. But I'd set my drums up, and we get the PA set up. And the main thing that the guy in our group, he said, man, make sure that bass is kicking. He was the bass guy. He was about 95 years old, and he loved bass. And, man, and one thing when we do our sound checks, they say, make sure that it's loud. We want everybody to be able to hear us. And I would be like, people on the front row would be like, you know, their hair's flying back, you know. You couldn't hear a word we were singing, but man, you could hear, and the music was always secondary. Matter of fact, I'm just telling you behind the scenes is that we didn't sing songs that honored and glorified the Lord. We sung songs we knew the people would want. You know why it is? It's because it's about selling CDs. I'm telling you what, I've been on kind of the other side of the industry, not so much in like some of the big names, but I've been enough on that side to know that most of them, not all of them, but most of them are in it for the money. Most of them are in it for the entertainment. And I've even asked some of them, I said, what would you consider this, a ministry or entertainment? And the last person told me, well, it's a mix of both. Right? And there again, it's not necessarily wrong. Entertainment's not wrong. Mission's not wrong. But our music cannot be about, I'm trying to get you to clap your hands. I'm trying to get you to stand up and dance. My music should be about glorifying the Lord. And that we as a church, we do it together, right? We're honoring, we're glorifying the Lord. And there again, music fits in strange categories. And I know when you preach on music, people just kind of turn you off immediately. And that's okay. I'm not perfect in my music. I'm telling you, my music down through the years, I have cut, and I'm right here now. I'm getting more and more picky about my music, you know, that because I do. I start thinking about it. And matter of fact, I had a little revival in my truck going to Oklahoma, and I even sent the song to Shelby. I was like, we got to sing this song. I said, this is a powerful song. And it wasn't about how necessarily they sang it. It was about the words of that song. Man, it got my heart. And that's what it should be about, is making sure that something is touching us so that we can look up. It's just like a message. Message needs to hit the heart so we'll look up. The message has to go forth. It has to be clear. It has to be understood. It has to be a unifying thing, right? When we come together. When they came together, they sang as a congregation. 120 trumpeters. That'd be awesome, right? And playing and singing, but it was as if they were one. God comes down in his glory, and he fills the temple because he was satisfied with what they were doing. Tonight, I'm not beating anybody up over music, and I just want you to think about your music, and I'm thinking about mine more and more every day as I study this out, and I'm going, Lord, is my music honoring to you? It doesn't. My music. When you turn the radio on, it's not about you. When you turn that song on, it's not about you. It's about Him, making sure that we're glorifying Him. And I know. And next week, I'm going to show you the boundaries that God has set forth with music. And in that, God gives us three boundaries that we can use for our music. But I just want to remind you, He gave it to us as a gift. Music is great. I mean, it really is. I love music. There's not a day that goes by that I don't listen or sing or whistle, usually whistling. But I love music. And I think God loves music. If He didn't, He wouldn't have gave it to us. Right? But the sound of music, what does it sound like? The music, we need to listen to what we're listening to, right? And if your neighbors are, if they're like, hey, man, I heard y'all's party last night, probably not the right kind of music, right? But I love when your neighbor goes, what is that you're listening to? I ain't never heard nothing like that. Good. That must mean I'm listening to something pretty good, right? Because I know what kind of music they listen to. And it's just amazing that God gave us music. I said, here you go. And He says, I want you to glorify Me. I want you to praise Me with it. I want you to use it to lift up your voice to Him. And I'm so thankful for music, and I hope you are too. Let's stand heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night, God. Thank You for Your blessings, Lord. And Father, I just thank You for music. And Lord, I just think of the things that we've seen through these scriptures with Moses and Joshua. And Lord, the unfamiliar sound that they knew there was something different just by the way it sounded. But Lord, there was that unifying sound that was found there in the temple in the time of Solomon. But God, we also see in the New Testament that we need an understanding sound, that, Lord, folks need to understand what we're singing and what we're doing with music. And Father, help us to be clear and precise with it, that the message goes out. And Lord, I just thank You again for a church that, Lord, has great music. And Lord, I think we do honor and glorify You with it, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord, we just want to honor You. And God, remember that it's not about us. It's all about You. I love You and thank You. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.